everything we're about to go into with all these other planets, each of them has something that you can grow to and use to your benefit the way you have.
Yeah.
That now it's serving the goals that you have and like the things that you care about manifesting.
Yeah.
Rather than holding you back.
Yeah.
If you don't look at it, it's still controlling your life.
I don't know where it's at.
Because you probably didn't realize how much it was controlling your life.
Yeah.
Until you were able to work through it and then look backwards.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tiani.
And I'm Taylor.
And welcome to Inner Orbit, your tool for navigating the energetic world around you.
I'm excited to be back.
I know. Part two.
Getting back into that birth chart.
Okay. Our favorite thing. Let's go.
So what's a birth chart? As a quick recap.
Yes.
It's where all the planets were at the exact time you were born. You are special. Down to the second. We taught you on the last episode, if you want to refer back, if you don't know how to access your birth chart, we gave you tools to find it. And that's going to give you all the information to unpack your big three, which we talked about last time. So what are some things we'll dig into today?
Today, we're going to go a little bit deeper into looking at your birth chart. So we're going to be talking about planets, aspects, and house systems, and the energy that can kind of be transcribed through those three different mediums. But before we get into all of that, something that we do need to talk about is, what is energy in the first place when you are interpreting it from an astrological context?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and start that conversation
Please
off
do.
If we're ready.
It's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
Everybody feels energy differently. Everybody channels it differently. Everybody has their own psychic gifts and abilities. Some people are more tuned in. A lot of people might be listening to different radio stations from an energetic point of view. One thing to think about is that everything exists within this material plane, but there's also several different planes that energy travels from. It can act as a particle or as a light wave. I'm getting a little sciencey here, but we love to ground this practically. So it exists in several different mediums so that we're actually able to interact with our physical world, but then we also have our mental world and our spiritual world. So it's just a medium of information and expression. That's how I look at it. Energy is all around us. It's always there. And then we have these bodies that take in the sensory input and produces an output that is transcribed through the experiences that we've had in life, through genetic patterns, through so many different variances that cause us to interpret energy on a different scale. So, for example, when we talk about how astrology comes into this play, let's just say like you're a Gemini. Geminis look at the world very differently from how a Sagittarius would look at it.
Yeah.
And so what it is doing is giving you information to understand the flavor of that specific person and how they're interpreting the baseline and basically how they're cooking that energy up and taking that in.
I love that.
Yeah, I like that.
I definitely don't think I have much to add to that because that was very well said. But I know we talk a lot about how there's no good or bad energy, right?
That's such an important point.
It never disappears, but it's transformed. And we talk a lot about how to transform it to become, you can call it your most embodied self, your highest self, your most evolved self, whatever language you want to use. Our goal is to help you transform the energy that Tiani's been talking about.
Yeah.
And ultimately, every sign, we have energy that's earthy. Air, fire, water, all of those have different feelings and energetics that you can start to feel, and you'll most likely start to intuit more within yourself once you understand your chart more. And ultimately, every sign and energy has an evolutionary path associated with it. Now that you know you have this, what are some shadow sides of this?
I love that conversation.
Yeah.
I think, Taylor, you have a really beautiful expression of how you look at shadow versus like integrated, embodied, or even evolved versions of a sign. I think that goes back to that tenet that you talked about during the very first episode. You're really optimistic and you believe in everybody's growth as a person. And so when we talk about the shadow, I think that sometimes I get a little bit like, we don't want people to think that things are bad because of shame and things of that nature. But I think you have a really, really beautiful way of expressing what a shadow or maybe even an uninvolved expression of a sign's energy is. Can you give, tell me more?
It's really natural to, especially since there's so much stereotyping in astrology, every Sag is flaky or every, people will just.
You are.
Sorry. Every sign gets its rap. Every sign has a bad rap. Every sign has, we all see our best sides of it. But ultimately, all those qualities are embodied. There's, again, the shadow sides and highest sides, highest expressions of all these different energies. And the most transformative work personally in my life has been looking at shadows directly and not avoiding them. That's what's led to the best outcomes in my life. I talk about that Cancer moon a lot. I talk about the fact that I have stellium. Is that how we say it?
Yeah.
If you have three placements of one sign, we'll talk about that more. But that means you have a stellium. And I have that in Cancer.
Girl.
That's watery energy. Water doesn't have boundaries well. Shadow sides of Cancer can be being emotionally reactive or not having boundaries, maybe even bordering on emotional manipulation. And understanding that in yourself is what allows you to get to the highest embodiment of it, right? Cancer can be really intuitive, but you aren't able to hear your intuition if you don't know how to regulate your emotions.
Right.
So by being honest about those things, it's led to the best outcomes of my life. And I fundamentally believe in the ability for everyone to change and grow. What's the point of believing in a world where people aren't growing all the time?
That's a good point.
So yeah, thank you. That's one of my fundamental beliefs. And what about you? Is there any kind of anything in terms of shadow work or highest expression that gets you excited about astrology?
Oh, absolutely. I think that you cannot be afraid to look at yourself.
Yeah.
If you don't look at yourself, then you don't know who you are. You don't know what to change, and you're not evolving and you're not growing and you're relooping and recycling. And since, you said this earlier, energy isn't created nor destroyed. But I think, as human beings, staying the same is kind of the equivalent of death.
Yeah.
In a sense.
Stagnation.
There's just something so murky about,
even
still water just is dead. Ain't nothing living that.
Yes.
And so energy needs to be able to move through you, express, and just expand and transform. And so I think sharing personally a shadow aspect that I've had to look at for myself, I have a Capricorn 10th house stellium and my Plutonian expression. I get very controlling when I'm scared. And I live scared for a long time. And a trait that I thought was making me successful, I think I capped its usability in my life at some point. And so this control mechanism of trying to control people's opinions of me, trying to control my money, my partner's monies. And the thing is, I was praised for the shadow. So that made it even harder.
That's a really good point.
That's a whole discussion within itself when you're praised for your shadow aspect.
Your survival mechanisms.
And that keeps you there.
Yeah.
But what I'm really happy about is the tower moment in my life, because I could not control anything that was happening. And the more I tried to control what was happening, the more I was just falling deeper into my depression, honestly. And so I just had a moment where I just had to surrender and let go. And
scary.
It's scary as hell.
Someone who follows cat placements and for anyone.
You share the same MC, Scorpio. So you get how scary it is to just let go of control.
To surrender.
But what was really beautiful about learning through that shadow aspect and looking at myself was that a better embodiment of that has been dedication.
Yeah.
So instead of needing to control everything, I trusted that what was in my life was meant to be there.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to redirect my focus to the things that I'm passionate about. So I took that Scorpio and Plutonian energy and used it to focus.
Yeah.
If I can't control what the manifestation of my emotions kind of look like in this manifested world, what I can't control is trusting that what's here is meant to be here. And let me just focus in on the points that I want to focus in and just make more of that. And it's honestly helped me like things that I don't want in my reality kind of fall off because I'm focusing on what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of just been one expression that I'm there. And thank you for giving me the space to share.
Great one.
Thank you.
It's very inspirational. And that's why we're here. The point is that everything we're about to go into with all these other planets, each of them has something that you can grow to and use to your benefit the way you have.
Yeah.
That now it's serving the goals that you have in life. You're serving the things that you care about manifesting.
Yeah.
Rather than holding you back.
Yeah.
The less,
yeah.
If you don't look at it, it's still controlling your life.
I don't know where it's at.
But it's just because you probably didn't realize how much it was controlling your life.
Yeah.
Until you were able to work through it and then look backwards.
Exactly.
Like, dang, that was.
And sometimes life needs to fall apart.
In the driver's seat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes life needs to fall apart for you to like really take an investigative look at of like, okay, what went wrong here? Because if everything was going right, like we would have never, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. And so like, I think that brings us to one of our second tenets, I guess.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, no shame.
No shame.
No shame.
This is a no shame zone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at yourself.
Yeah.
Look at yourself so that we can resolve and move forward.
It's not about focusing on, oh, I wish I didn't live like that before. That got you here, got you listening to this podcast. And now you have more tools because something I've liked that I was told before, it's you did the best with the tools you had at that time. Mm. I really believe in that. And there was a point in my life, though, where I'm like, okay, I have the tools now.
Yes.
Now I can't say that I have the tools and I have to keep this work going.
Yeah.
But this is not meant to shame any shadow quality. It's actually exciting when I land on shadow qualities in a way.
Exciting.
Because I'm like, this is like a little gift. I actually have a place to work on to improve.
Mm.
If you don't have any of that, you don't have information on or data on what do I do next.
Yeah.
So – we look shadow qualities in the face here.
Love shadow.
Yeah.
I think one significant point and maybe a last point to make about the shame and shadow is that when you are able to observe a shadow aspect of yourself or even other people, that's actually a sign that you are equipped to overcome.
Yes.
Because you would not see it if you were not aware in some way or sense. I think there's that saying, like, there's not more put on you than you can handle.
Yep.
If something is showing up in your reality and it's difficult to deal with, just know it's because you are more than capable of overcoming it.
I love that.
Period.
I know you said the last thing, but I'll say
one more.
So the reason flipping shame on its head has become so valuable in my life is understanding the science of shame that I'm not going to go too deep into because I'm not a scientist, but Dr. Shonda Shapiro, who wrote Good Morning, I Love You, is. And she writes in that book, if you are interested on the science of shame, that doesn't lead to change behavior. You know, we beat ourselves up or beat ourselves up about how we operated in the past, and then we keep ourselves in these loops. And it's really self-compassion and self-love that is scientifically backed to actually lead to change behavior, which is what we want for ourselves and probably the world at large. So that stuck with me, and I can't unknow what I know now. So if that's helpful for anyone who feels that chastising yourself is what you deserve, just know it's not going to serve yourself or anyone around you.
And if you're doing it to yourself, you're doing it to other people.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
So now that we've established that all energy is good energy.
Yeah.
And we've covered your big three, are you ready for three more aspects of your chart?
Okay.
And what are those three?
Okay. So like we talked about in the beginning, we're going to get into our planets, our houses, and our aspects. So we're going to begin with our planets.
Okay.
So what are the planets in your birth chart? Let's just call this a little dramatic flair. So there's energy all around, but now we're going to talk about the siphoning of the energy and where that energy, like who's in command of that energy. So if you have your rising, your sun and your moon, what other three influences do you have? So you have your big three. Now you have your personal planets.
Personal planets.
So now we're going to get into Mercury, Venus, and Mars.
Yes.
And each planet has a certain distance from the Earth. Our Earth is our reference point. And the further out you get, the slower the rotation, essentially. And so when we go into our personal planets, these are planets that kind of move quicker. So they move through signs and houses a lot quicker. So they serve different themes over your life more often. And then the further out we get, we have generational influences. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're talking about Uranus, Saturn, and Pluto. But we'll get into that in a whole different episode.
Yeah.
So to kick us off, we're going to talk about our chatty planet. We're going to talk about Mercury here.
Mercury.
So what's your impression about Mercury?
And if you've looked up your chart,
mm-hmm.
you can pull it up right now, go take a look at your Mercury, and maybe this will all start to make sense.
Yes.
So Mercury for me is how you communicate, how you think. So it is the you said it's chatty. It's the communication one. To make it as simple as possible, communication.
Yeah.
For me, that's Aries. Aries is fire. So as someone who has a lot of earth energy, Mercury gives me that ability to think quickly, talk quickly. Like mm-hmm.
Rapid fire.
Even though I sit a lot with my earth energy, I don't talk like I – I talk with some action and fire. What's your take on Mercury?
Ooh, Mercury, I think you did a great job. Like, it is how you think, how you process. It can also represent your siblings, a little bit of duality Ooh. Into your life. I know, right? What's so interesting, we're not going to get too deep into – the signs that the planets rule. We're going to take baby steps, but Mercury rules over two signs. Mm. I think people forget that Mercury also rules an earth sign.
Wow.
Virgo.
Yeah.
Owns your pets, short travels, mm-hmm. things that you do with your hands mm-hmm. As well. So certain projects. Mercury is just this like really quick-witted, mischievous.
Yeah.
The thing about Mercury is that although it's how you think, it's kind of a trickster.
Yeah.
In mythology, Hermes rules over Mercury.
Yes.
And they kind of point it as the communicator between like your physical body and your spirit body. Mm-hmm. So sometimes Mercury is transcribing, you know, higher dimensional, I'm a woo-woo girl, higher dimensional information. So it's kind of how you get the information, how you process the information, how you like to learn and how you like to think.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And if you're looking along at your birth chart, this could be an aha moment for you, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're so much earth and water in your big three, like I was, and then you see fire and it make all of a sudden your communication and thinking style makes sense, right?
Makes sense.
That's kind of what we're hoping you will have is some aha moments like, oh gosh, I do have the energy within me.
Yeah.
What is your Mercury?
Oh, I'm a Gemini Mercury, so I'm right home.
Oh my gosh. I'm right home. That's why she has a podcast.
I'm saying, but that Aries Mercury, I love that. That also makes so much sense because I'm telling y'all, Taylor can yap. Not in a bad way. It's all constructive and like she keeps me busy talking. I love talking.
Yeah, Captain Chloe, our wonderful producer, has to rein us in.
Very much. What's your favorite like placement for Mercury? Like if you were looking at someone's chart and they had Mercury there, what would like light you up a little bit, make you excited?
I don't want to gas you up, but I think a Mercury and Gemini.
Duh!
I'm actually not kidding.
I
know. Because Gemini is really like quick-witted and like endlessly curious and can look at the duality of things. Mm-hmm. You'll see soon once we get to some other placements why I'm so biased towards this. But it makes sense that we can gap endlessly.
Yeah.
So I didn't – you're welcome.
No, I love that. Yeah. I love that. I'd say that a favorite for me, I love a Mercury in Aquarius.
Ooh.
I love it. I think that it allows so much innovation, creation. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, where did you get this from? Very musically talented and inclined.
Oh, I love that.
The way that they communicate is so like – it's so direct. I don't ever have to guess with a Mercury and Aquarius sign. So if you've got one, like comment. I want to know where the Mercury and Aquarius people are. Okay.
Yes.
Like please comment below. Be happy. All of that fun stuff.
I love that.
But
so we like the air in Mercury.
That's you kind know of what? Interesting. I guess so. Air is good for Mercury.
Yeah.
Even though it rules over an earth sign as well. Mercury needs to get information to its host so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And make it useful.
Yeah.
The thing about Mercury, though, is it can be a little too detail-oriented.
Okay.
You can get – so when we talk about, you know, shadow, when we talk mm-hmm. about expression, like sometimes it can just be a little bouncy, mm-hmm. a little erratic and a little bouncy, and just pay a little bit too much attention to like the small details without taking into consideration like, do we need to know this for the bigger picture at hand? And I think that's why you and I, when we talk, we bop around so much. What's a trait about Mercury that you think can be a little bit more evolved?
I think it depends on your sign in Mercury. Mm. So like for Mercury in Aries, I think what I have to watch out on is just speaking without thinking, right? It's a fire sign. Aries can be impulsive. And I have definitely gotten in trouble for that many times in my life. So for me, that would be like when I learned that I had this placement, because I view myself as this earth water girl. I was like, oh, I do have fire within me. Mm-hmm. And yes, it does come out in conversation.
Yeah.
And that is where probably for any ex-boyfriend listening, they would be like, yeah, that checks out. You know? So I would say that would be my shadow side. And mm-hmm. then what I love about it, and now that I'm like, okay, now that I know this, I'm like, I can respond quickly. I do pause to make sure it's emotionally sound and intelligent now. And like, if I take that beat, I love that I can respond in real time and move quickly and keep up with wonderful people like yourself.
Okay.
So I do, that's how I view it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that is neat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like moving on from Mercury, if we could stay there all day.
Yes.
Let's talk about our next planet. Lovely Venus.
It's my favorite.
Ooh, go ahead. Kick us off.
I think, well, it is associated with love, right? Yeah. And it can show up differently for everyone. It's love, but it can be an energy that you bring to your day-to-day. And the reason I'm so biased about your Mercury in Gemini is my Venus is in Gemini.
Oh.
And I do find it to be loud.
Yeah.
Like, even though we think of our big three being how people experience us, my Venus, like the air that gives me, the air energy that placement gives me, brings a lot of levity to my life. It brings that ping-ponging of ideas.
Yeah.
It makes me love that banter, brings a little fairy energy.
Love that.
I love that. And then Venus can be, my experience is that it can be what you're attracted to and what people, like what you attract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a season of a lot of Geminis in my life.
Oh.
But when I am dating, I really care about that banter. I really care about like intellectual stimulation. That's the way to get to me. So that's my experience with Venus. I just think it's so fun. And I don't know if I'd be as fun without my placement there. So I'm like, that's my favorite.
But I love that you love like your placements.
Yeah.
Some people can be like, no, I don't like that. But we're finding ways to just love it.
Exactly.
We love ourselves. I love the way you word that.
Yeah.
I think for Venus, I have a difficult time with Venus for some reason.
Okay.
When we get into aspects, we'll talk about that. But my Venus is actually very poorly aspected.
Oh.
And it's also in a detriment.
Uh-oh, what one is it?
My Venus is an Aries.
Okay.
She's a troublemaker.
We all have our faults.
Listen, mine, so when we talk about, but I want to point something out. Our Venus and Mercury's are I was just like, oh, I love her so much more.
So much.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
This is astrology in action for the non-believers.
Listen, Captain Chloe, bat your eyes. What sign is your Mercury in?
Taurus.
Wow.
That's why she
has to reel us in.
Dabbing in the corner like banshees. And she's just like, okay, are you ready?
And so patient about it. So patient about it too. It's making so much sense. Yeah, I love when the astrology.
Another
astrology.
One for the astrology.
Okay. Okay. All right, man. So we get into our Venus, right?
Yeah.
I always interpret Venus to just be this like, what keeps you living, essentially? What you love, sometimes what you want to put in your home. You know, because it does rule like textures and fabrics and things of that nature, what you wear, and sort of how you express yourself. And there's many other planets that help out with that. But Venus is sort of how you nurture your relationships too. Venus is a relationship gal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, I have a little hard relationship with Venus because she's poorly aspected in my chart, for one.
Yeah.
And two, she's in her detriment. Like, I've got a Venus in Aries.
And what does it mean if it's in its detriment?
It just means that it's a little bit of a frictiony type of energy. Venus loves being in like Taurus or Pisces.
Grounded.
Yeah, a little,
loving.
Little free.
Yeah.
And Aries is me. Like I said, just a big ass baby.
Yeah.
And Venus is a relationship planet.
Yeah.
And she wants to think about other people.
Yeah.
But as a Venus in Aries, when I'm dating.
Okay.
And you know, and again, I've got those squares. She's squaring a lot of places in my chart. So she be she be messing me up sometimes. And so like an expression of like a Venus in Aries, first Venus in Aries girlies, is we find that we like the competitiveness of dating.
Chase.
I love the chase. Yeah. I like the infatuation stage, mm-hmm. and I want to keep it up.
Yeah.
Which can make you a little unfaithful sometimes, or attract partners who
aren't. I was going to say selfishness. Does that ever show up?
Oh, yeah.
As a shadow
aspect. Yeah. And sometimes it's so sneaky you don't even notice that it's there, because Aryan energy is very passionate. And as much as people don't think about it too much, a little clingy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ownership mm-hmm. with the Aryan energy. And when you really think about it, like, it's the baby of, you know, the signs. And
it's
so
the first sign.
It's the first sign.
The zodiac, the astrological calendar starts in March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, it's that sign where like you find someone, you want to cling on to them.
Yeah.
Just like you would to your caretaker or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. And then when you get bored, what do? You cause a havoc. Mm-hmm. And that's what I used to find myself doing. And so now how I kind of maneuver through that placement is I think I overcompensate sometimes mm-hmm. in asking a lot of questions and being curious Ooh. About people, because mm-hmm. I try to redirect the energy for myself onto other people because I know I can get fixated.
So you consciously do that.
I have to consciously do so. But I have embraced that. I know I'm a passionate lover.
Hey. I know.
And
PSA.
You know, like, and I know I'm a fiery lover. And one thing about me, I'm not boring.
No.
You're always going to have a fun time.
That's right.
So, you know, although, and that goes back to what you were saying earlier, like, I'm an earth girl, but I love the fire expression.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that even as you were talking, you went from it's not my happiest placement to I love the fire expression.
Not a boring day.
No.
But speaking of, you know, dating and everything, you've been doing a little bit of that.
I do have some data in the field. Yeah. I would say it's interesting because, again, like, it's kind of fun to learn about signs in retrospect, because you're like, I wasn't doing the placebo effect of knowing this and seeking it out, right? Mm. There was a summer before I knew about my Venus that I was attracting a lot of Geminis. Oof. Like everywhere around me. And I mean,
Venus and Gemini is great too.
Yes. But I was, and because of that Venus and Gemini, I was like, wow. Later I learned that. I was like, that makes sense. I was so attracted, that Venus and Gemini energy attracted to me to other Geminis, because we had great conversations. They're so witty. Like, conversations were on fire. So it was fascinating learning about that later, because I didn't know that about that beforehand.
So you like naturally magnetize
naturally that? And then in reverse, when I've done the charts of people I'm dating, I've very commonly found that their Venus is in one of my big three. So Ooh. Their Venus is in Capricorn or Taurus or Cancer, which is showing that they're attracted to those traits within me. They're attracted to, you know, maybe they are, if your Venus is in Capricorn, you're attracted to someone who's like got it together and is going to accomplish a lot in this world and seems composed, or they're attracted to the grounded tree and energy. But it's been fascinating to see that unfold in real life and have the like anecdotal data from it.
Mm. No, that's really, really neat though, because it's like, sometimes you don't attract what you want. You can only attract what you are.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, the placebo effect, like you weren't out here just like knowing your chart and magnetizing Gemini's the experience. Very, there was like, find her. When we talk about Venus,
yes,
we got to talk about her man Mars.
Okay,
let's talk about Mars. I want to kick us off on the Mars discussion.
Yes,
I love Mars.
Yeah.
I think Mars gets a bad rep.
Okay.
I only think because we are living in a world where masculinity is starting its transformation and evolution.
Okay.
We are in the middle of it, in the thick
Mars
of it.
Mars is a masculine.
Mars.
Venus was feminine, that we just moved from to the masculine of Mars.
Mars is a masculine planet and expression.
Yeah.
So naturally, Mars will do better in some signs than in others.
Correct.
Personally, my Mars is in Leo, so I gotta.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Leo being a fire sign.
Okay.
In Mars.
More fire.
Yeah.
Right? With that Venus Aries. But no, Mars, What I love about Mars is that, like, Venus will tell you what you love.
Yes.
And Mars will tell you how to get it.
Okay.
Essentially.
I like that framing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so we bring out that focus. That's why Mars also co-rules Scorpio.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, we bring out that focus. We bring out that drive. You bring out, it can also tell you your athleticism.
Yeah.
Your natural body composition as well, your muscle composition. But Mars is very quick in nature.
Yeah.
And it can also be, you said this earlier, how you express your rage and your anger.
Yes.
Yes. And
it can be like an emotional filter.
I love that wording.
Yeah.
I love that wording. I was reading this book by Erica Sanchez. It's not an astrology book, but it's called Crying on the Bathroom Floor or something similar to that. And she explains watching these dancers, when she was traveling, I can't remember the country, but she was saying that there was something so beautiful about watching these dancers turn the injustice that their country had been going through and the rage. She said she could feel the rage coming through in the dance that she was watching. And I think that Mars is an important expression when we talk about creative transmutation.
Okay.
Like, Mars is, I think, what we've seen.
I love this.
Right?
Yeah. There's so much more to Mars than I even knew.
There's so much more to Mars. Yeah. Which means there's so much more to men and masculine expression.
That's nice.
And what we're doing, we're not shaming.
Yeah.
We're allowing space for evolution to take place.
Yeah.
And I think Mars needs a better viewpoint.
Yeah.
And so, like, Venus is creative, but Venus and Mars do a dance. Mm-hmm. And so when we talk about Mars, Mars is integral into helping transform some of your anger, because a lot of the times you experience anger, but you feel shamed for it because sometimes you're not allowed to be angry. Mm-hmm. And so getting back connected to your Mars and finding a healthy expression of that rage.
Yes.
Pair it with your Venus. Pair it with where Venus is in your chart. If you've got Venus in the third house or in Aries and you know you... Oh, Venus. Me. Sorry. Which was already in a detriment
back to
place.
Me, Aries.
You know, and that was natural. So I think I'm sending myself a message. You know, but if you know you like to write, or if you know you like to think, go read a book. Yeah. If you're mad, go write a book. More so than it. Like, take
tangible
action.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Venus is not as action-oriented as Mars is.
Yeah.
So, like, let Venus tell you what you love, but let Mars do the performance. So, like, with my Venus being in Aries, I do a lot of, like, athletic expression.
Yes.
So, like, you know me, I love to pole dance.
Dancer.
I dance. I like to run, do yoga as well. I like to sweat a little bit, which definitely helps with releasing some of that. Your Venus is in Gemini.
Yes.
Right? Where's your Mars?
Oh, it's in Cancer.
Oh, yeah. Another fall.
So that is another time where your placement of Venus in Aries is when it's in its detriment.
Yeah.
Mars is in its detriment in Cancer, meaning it's not happiest there. It's not where it thrives.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
So for you, maybe, like, so you've got your Venus in Gemini and then you've got your Mars in Cancer. It's already a little stifled.
Yeah.
But we go back into that cerebral, into that thinking. And I know something you mentioned is that you have a routine that you read.
Yes.
And that's your action orientation.
Yes.
Were you doing a podcast with a Gemini where we're talking?
Journaling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's your action to balance out that anger, that rage. You're looking at it, but now you're creating something from it.
I love that.
And so Mars is so important, y'all. If you've got your birth chart pulled up, take a look at your Mars. Find some action that correlates to your Venus sign. When you're upset, try to find some activities that can kind of just help you express your Mars in a healthy way.
Comment too if you're hey, I figured this out. What are some suggestions?
Oh, that'd
be
neat.
Happy to help out.
Yeah.
I know it can be confusing, but I think that was a really good tangible takeaway.
Yeah.
I know we aren't steeped in meme astrology, but there was a funny meme I read once, which was like, your Venus is how your last relationship started, your Mars is how it ended.
Girl.
And so translation for me would
be, how did your relationship end?
So usually it starts with great banter and then Cancer and Mars. Cancer is emotional, water sign, and it's in its detriment. So, like, just emotional volatility, like, just like emotional mess at the end.
Okay.
I was like, ha ha, it's about me. So, but I think that was such great advice because as I've gotten older and I've learned more about how to create boundaries and have a healthy expression of Cancer energy, that's exactly what I've had to do, is journal, is write, is read, and, like, have a really, really healthy expression of that. Yeah. But it's so important when you do have a planet or a placement where it's in its detriment, even more so to look that in its face, right?
You've got to put more effort.
I really had to look, and I would normally say, like, if you're not really supposed to look at it this way, but Cancer, my Mars is not my favorite placement, but it's where it's offering me the most growth. So, but because of the things you said, so you were spot on that all those things were really important for me to like have that kind of regulation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That is neat.
Yeah. That's more like, that's a lot of information.
Yeah. That's quite a bit. So I think that's a good place to kind of just stop on talking about our planets. We know our big three. Mm-hmm. Now we know our personal planets.
Yes.
And we'll delve deeper into the other planets in a different episode.
Yes.
So let's transition over to the other aspect of a birth chart. Let's talk about our houses. Our house systems.
When you look at the big circle and you might be confused, and then there's all these lines making it like pizza.
A nice pizza.
What are they making them into?
I like how you did that. Stop. Now you know about your planets and the energies that they're giving you and serving you. Now we can talk about, well, where in my life are these showing up at? Mm-hmm. So your planets are the specific themes that you're going to find energy just siphoning out into your reality in your real world. So there's 12 of them. Each house is represented by a sign. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, our signs, we also have planets that take ownership over those signs. So there are also planets that just love being in a specific house system. But Taylor, I want to ask you, like, you know so much about rising signs right now. Mm-hmm. What house is that, and what is it like rule?
Your whole house system is going to be dictated by that rising sign. So before, when we've talked about how important knowing your birth time and birth location are, that will give you your rising sign. And your rising sign becomes house number one. There's 12 houses. And whatever your rising sign, it's going to tell you what all the other ones are. So we can always know, or pretty often there are edge cases with intercepted charts, which not today. But for more or less on a typical chart, if you know the rising sign, you'll understand signs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. Yeah. That rising sign becomes house one, which is the house of self-identity and expression. That is why your rising sign is so important, because it is who you are, who you're meant to become, how other people perceive you. That is what house one is about.
We won't go too deeply into all 12, not in this episode right now.
Yeah.
I'll just give like a quick one word for each one. I think we can run through that.
Okay, we'll give you a little snapshot.
So like first house, self-identity. I love that word, which you come in to the world hoping to accomplish and be. Second house, we're talking about self-value.
Yeah.
Money. Your third house, communication, short travel.
Yeah.
Your fourth house, a lot of people say past incarnations, your home, your emotions. Mm-hmm. Your fifth house, creative expression, children. Your sixth house, your daily routines. Seventh house, relationships, contracts, open enemies.
Oh, dang.
Venus is spicy.
Okay.
Your eighth house, death, regeneration, deep emotions, taboos. Your ninth house, big overseas travel, philosophical thinkings, generic expansion. Your 10th house, your career, your reputation. Your 11th house, your hopes and your dreams. And then that 12th house. That's your favorite house.
It's a funky one.
It's, listen, secrets, entrapments, prisons, but your spirituality house.
More taboo.
More taboo and hidden enemies this time. The unknown. And that's pretty much a synopsis. We'll get more into that once we go into our deep dive into the houses, once we're a little bit more experienced.
We would have another hour here if we were trying to delve into all 12.
Yeah.
That's a really fun thing to look up today. But now you can understand that the pizza slices are houses. All of these are going to correspond to different pretty straightforward aspects of your life. So if you want to – Uranus moved into Gemini this year, right? Mm-hmm. You can look up where Gemini – is in your chart, what house it is in, and you can understand, okay, Uranus is going to impact this part of my life.
Yeah.
Jupiter moved into Cancer this summer. Cancer rules my seventh house of relationships. So Jupiter is a very lovely, lucky, happy sign.
I know you're happy about that, girl.
I am. That's why I keep talking about it. So I was like, oh, that's great. Blessings to come. And it was true. That's when it gets really fun to know your houses. That's where that stuff gets exciting, because you're more understanding how the energy of the world is going to impact different domains of your life. Is it going to get me thinking about work? Is it going to get me think about who I am? Yeah. So I think that's enough for now, but hopefully you're not so scared of looking at the chart anymore. It's just a map of the sky broken into houses.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And what I really love about what we're doing is kind of building this foundational base.
Yeah.
So we're leaving the homework up to you, you know, but it's so neat if you can follow along every time we release an episode so that you kind of just know what the heck is going on.
Yeah.
You know, do your homework. We're Cap Risings. Do your homework. But let's talk about the third aspect that we plan today. Mm-hmm. The third aspect being our aspects.
The aspects. Which Tiani is about to teach me. Because she knows way more about aspects than me. So I'm,
teacher. Aspects in your chart are like if planets were like telephoning each other and what type of conversation they're about to have.
Yeah.
Are we going to argue? Are we just going to have a harmonious, you know, chit chat? Yeah. Are, am I only going to call you like once a year type thing? And so when we talk about aspects, you have this chart and your planets are making geometrical relationships and shapes to one another. Mm-hmm. So what it really is kind of like how harmonious or abrasive the energy within your chart is looking.
Are those the lines across the chart?
Yes.
Those are the aspects.
Those are the lines. They're the thing that's making your chart like look like what is going on.
Yeah.
And then your chart also has a specific shape too because of those aspects.
Got it.
And so five main aspects to kind of look out for and watch out for. So to begin, you're going to have your conjunction. Mm-hmm. So this is when you have two planets that are within a close orb of each other. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about an orb, we are talking about the distance between the planets and even the distance between the specific aspect and shape that they make. You have degrees in your birth chart, and those represent time, basically. So one orb, I think there's 30 degrees for every sign. Each degree represents a certain interval of time. There's arguments about what specific orb relates to each specific aspect. You know, some are just like 3, some are 5, some are 10. 10's a little wide because when we think about space, that's a lot of miles. And so my own personal practice, if it's within 0 to 5 orb, we've got an aspect relationship. It may be different for others. Do not argue with me. All right. So I don't want to see it in the comments. I already said what works for me. Do what works for you. Okay, baby. All right. Let's get into the conjunction. So this is when two planets are next to each other within a 0 to 5 degree.
Okay.
So what happens with a conjunction is that you get energy that muddles and spills into one another. Mm-hmm. They are a little confused.
Okay.
Sometimes there are planets that work really well.
Confused conjunction. Okay. I can remember that.
Confused conjunction. Okay. Some planets love being next to each other. Yeah. Other planets are just like fighting for the mic.
Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And a way to balance that out is to recognize the conjunction and to understand that I'm going to pick which one I want to listen to today.
Okay.
Like if I know that I have a job interview, let me listen to Saturn today. You know, maybe I don't need to listen to Neptune. I don't need to be to Lulu today.
Okay.
You know, your next aspect, we're going to go into a sextile. This is a 60 degree orbit on your chart. This is a little bit more harmonious energy.
Sextile. I'm just trying to help people remember.
yes. Sextile.
Yeah.
Get it. It's our 60 degree. Okay. Venus and Gemini trying to make everything a joke. This is your 60 degree orb.
Yeah.
And so planets have a favorable, harmonious relationship. Even if the planets don't necessarily vibe with one another as they would in a conjunction, this means that there's open communication, fluid energy flowing through. The way that I would look at this is opportunistic. This is favorable energy that's available.
Okay.
But it's not something that's completely working. Like, it's not always, like, working on your behalf or in your favor. It's just, it's there. And if you want to use it, cool, it'll help you.
Yeah.
Our next aspect is our square. This is dun, dun, dun. Your square is energy that is a little bit disharmonious. When we do think about a square, you know, we're we're square up.
Yeah, that's what I think of. Square off, square up.
Square up, you know, like, okay. So we've got a square. This is where your energy is coming at a 90-degree angle. I've read this before where it's just like in past life, you've made many mistakes with this type of energy. Mm-hmm. And now you're in this lifetime making up for it.
Okay.
And I've got a lot of squares in my chart.
Oh, what have you done?
I'm trying to figure it out, girl. You know, that's why I said Venus is squaring off a lot of my charts. Okay. And she's in her fall. And I was like, did I do something? You know, so this is kind of where the energies, okay, they are talking to each other.
So we got the conjunction, yes, the harmonious sextile. We've got the squaring up square. And then
there's two more. Okay. But something that I want to talk about with squares is that this is energy that's always talking to one another.
Right. Always in that.
They're always talking to one another. So you will pretty much feel that friction pretty frequently.
Okay.
Just to alert you that it's there. This needs to be resolved.
And it quite literally will look like a square on your chart.
It will look like an angle.
An angle.
So like, okay. And this is between your modalities. And we'll get into that on another episode. So then after your squares, we have our oppositions. This is 180 degree. These are planets that are just across from one another. Mm-hmm. This isn't as disharmonious as a square is. This is more so where, and it looks like a telephone line. This is kind of where you have just an imbalance.
Okay.
The way to kind of maneuver through an opposition is to meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. So this is where you're finding a blending of energies rather than trying to pick one or the other, because then you're going to throw it off imbalance.
Okay.
So this is where you need to take sort of Librian type of energy, where you're just going to have to figure out how to blend the two. Mm-hmm. Whereas with a conjunction, it's more of like a muddling of energies that you want to kind of decipher a little bit.
Got it.
So opposition, we're going to balance.
Got it.
And lastly, we're going to talk about the trine, which is your 120 degree angle. The trine loves you. You got a trine in your chart.
This is
energy that is readily available and always working on your behalf.
Okay.
Where the sextile is more so like, I mean, you could use me if you want, but a trine is like, no, I'm here. I'm here for you, holding your hand.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good overview. I might have missed a few points, but, you know, go look it up. Do your own research. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty basic.
Yeah, that's a lot there.
That was a lot. So we're going to pull up your chart.
Yeah.
And we are going to go through one of your aspects. What is an aspect that you kind of want to get into?
I think we talked about, I've got a lot of Saturn happening in my chart. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got, is it Saturn square sun? And then a Saturn opposing moon.
Ooh, let's do your Saturn opposite your moon.
Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
Because, A, your Capricorn ruled, so Saturn plays a big role.
Big role in my life.
Your chart ruler.
Papa Bear Saturn is the hard lessons man.
Mm-hmm. But giving gifts once you learn your lesson.
Yes.
And then your moon, it's so funny because your Cancer moon and Capricorn and Cancer are like sister signs.
Yeah.
And then you also have this relationship between the two planets that own the signs.
Wow.
Also talking to one another.
That's true.
And then you have the stellium in Cancer as well. Girl, it's just going on for you. So let's just do a short breakdown.
Yeah.
So we've got Saturn opposite your moon.
Yeah.
So I think what that would look like for you. So we know we have an opposition. So we know we need to come into balance.
Yeah.
We need to blend the two.
Okay.
And so what's so beautiful is that Saturn is structure, lines, rules.
Yeah.
And we have our moon, which is more fluidity, a little bit more boundless, very emotionally turbulent. Some people think that represents your mother, and Saturn actually some people think represents your father.
Ooh.
So in opposition with one another, and in already Saturn having to be this parentified child.
Yeah.
A lot of Saturnian ruled people find that they've had to be parents. Mm-hmm. So you've actually had to balance the role of mother and father in your lifetime for yourself. But it also speaks to for others because the moon is also this nurturing. So you've also probably had to parent not just your siblings, but also maybe in your relationships.
Yeah.
As well as showing up as people's mothers. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's been like a, it's one or the other. Either I'm giving all of myself or I'm just shutting you the hell out.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like discernment.
Overgiving or
are pushing away.
Pushing away.
And I think there's been some emotional discernment mm-hmm. as well as material gift-giving discernment yeah. that has had to happen within your life. Yeah. Do you feel like that has been like a theme?
Spot on.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more spot on, and really interesting to hear you, because I knew that I had the Saturn opposing moon, but I didn't really know what that opposition meant. So to know that opposition is more about the imbalance was a really helpful reframe for me. Mm-hmm. And hearing the duality, like the mother, father, mother, mm-hmm. all new to me and completely spot on.
Ooh, wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't have to be right, y'all.
Yeah, well, you are not okay. wrong right now.
Hey, if you are an experienced astrology person, what information could you give Taylor about her Saturn opposite moon?
Yes.
If you know, we'd love to know more. And if you do know your chart, what's an aspect that you like love to get into, or one that you just have a little question about?
Yeah.
Let us know. But this was really informative. I think this was a lot.
You can go have fun for years.
At this rate, like if this is where you stop learning about astrology, like you're in a really good place, y'all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you really do have the foundation now if you go and dig deep and all these things in your own chart, get to know your houses. It will be much more exciting to you to now know Uranus is moving into Gemini.
Yeah.
Pluto has moved into Aquarius. It will be more meaningful for you to know what's happening at the world at large, but you'll understand the energetics that you can expect.
And we are going to kind of just move into some journal prompts.
Yes.
We already asked you to tell us about an aspect that you want to know more about your chart, but is there any type of friction that you're experiencing in your personal life?
In life.
Just in general. And can you tie that back to a specific house or a specific aspect between planets? And just think about that a little bit.
Now that you've probably unearthed some new placements, what are shadows that you associate with that? Maybe three shadows. If you're the Cancer we were just talking about, you don't have boundaries, you feel like you overgive, that could be a shadow. And then what would the evolved highest expression of that be that you aspire to?
Yeah.
So for me, being someone who gives from a place of wholeness, and has that like strong sense of self internally.
Yeah.
And that would be a version of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think another example to also go to, because it's a hard question, you're going to have to look at yourself and think about it. Let's just say you're like, you're a gossiper.
Yeah.
Like that's a shadow side of Gemini. Mm-hmm. If you're somebody who likes to yap about other people and their business, I used to be that way. What is a more integrated way of using that skill to be more beneficial in your life? And you can use that to start a podcast.
Correct.
You can use that to encourage people because you're going to talk about them anyways. So why don't you say nice things?
Yeah, uplift.
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 You could use that energy to storytell.
Yeah.
So take a look at yourself, look at your chart, think about some of your shadow energies, and just try to write a corresponding integrated, balanced version of that. And again, we'd love to hear how you've completed your work. And thank you for listening with us today.
Thanks. See ya.
Okay.
You've been listening to Inner Orbit. This podcast is created and hosted by Tiani Harris and Taylor Starr, produced and edited by Chloe Goodman, with original music by Joseph Goodman. Be sure to like, subscribe, or follow wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Inner Orbit Pod, or email innerorbitpod@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving us a rating, review, or comment. We want to hear what you think, and your engagement goes a long way helping this podcast reach a wider audience. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.